be preaching this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 18. Please listen as I read God's Word. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. I've titled my message today, An Appropriate Ruler, and you'll find that I'll have a double meaning for that, but let me begin by describing a ruler as a measuring stick. A measuring stick, and it's good to have an appropriate ruler, or the right measuring stick, so that you can measure and know the length of things. If you don't have an appropriate ruler, you get all confused, or you might like to use something different for other purposes. For instance, I kind of like to think I'm fairly tall, and compared to Mary, and to Rachel, and to Krista, I'm pretty tall, aren't I? I'm very tall compared to them, aren't I? But if you were to line me up with the rest of the individuals in the congregation, I'm kind of average height. And if you put me up against Jonathan, or maybe an NBA player, I'd look like a midget.
Or Logan.
Logan's pretty tall too. But I like to think I'm tall, so I'm going to compare myself with those who are short. Maybe I'll bring Renee up here and compare myself to her. I'm really tall compared to Renee, aren't I? Well, it all depends on your standard of measurement, doesn't it? You have to have the appropriate ruler. How do we measure ourselves in the Christian life? Paul's letter to the Corinthians in this point gives a revealing case study. There were false teachers that came into the Corinthian church after Paul and his other missionaries had been there, and they used a different ruler. They compared themselves to themselves. In fact, in those first two verses, I repeated the word themselves 7 or 8 times. And you can tell what the standard of measurement was there in the Corinthian church. It was the false teachers themselves. They were measuring everything by that ruler. And they were especially measuring Paul and his fellow missionaries by that ruler. And guess what they found out? They were taller than Paul. Well, not taller, but they were better in every category to which they wanted to compare themselves to Paul, based on their ruler. Paul doesn't elaborate what those measurements were, but we might guess that they said that they were more compassionate than Paul, or they were better speakers in public than Paul was, that they were more caring, maybe more handsome, more energetic or charismatic, maybe more able to plant a church. Whatever the comparison was, they used their own ruler and naturally found Paul and everyone else to come up short. This also reminds me of a scene in the musical Guys and Dolls. It's about gamblers, and one of the scenes in the musical, one of the gamblers decides he's going to gamble using dice that he has had specially made for him with the dots all removed for luck. Now, fortunately, he knows where all the dots are on that, so that when he rolls the dice, guess what? He always wins. He made the rules. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And in a very similar way, imagine how the false teachers would set themselves up as the standard of measurement, and lo and behold, no one else can measure up. It's this case study that Paul that I'm going to use this morning to apply to the church in general, because in this passage, Paul will teach a greater principle that it is important to have an appropriate ruler. It's a lesson for the church of every age and for our Christian lives as well. As you look in your Bible, if you use the New King James, you might see that it gives a title to the paragraph. It says, Limits of Paul's Authority. While that's a part of the message of this passage, it goes a lot deeper. Paul points out that not only is his authority limited, but he points to the source of his authority in such a way to give a proper and an appropriate ruler. My idea then this morning, the main idea for this passage, the one thing I want you to take home with you, is that where God is not honored, the church will falter. Do not rest in the praise of men for the growth of the church, but glorify God for what Christ has done. I'll say that one more time. Where God is not honored, the church will falter. Do not rest or praise men for the growth of the church, but glorify God for what Christ does. My method this morning is going to be, first of all, to work through the passage verse by verse. It is one that is all intertwined, and it's not one that you can just kind of draw out point by point this main idea. It all kind of hangs together, so I'm going to work through verse by verse to show how Paul used, or what measuring tape that Paul used. And then secondly, to make an extended application to the church today and to our personal Christian lives. So first of all, we'll look at the verses and to see, working through the passage, to see the measuring tape, the appropriate ruler that Paul uses. And the first thing that you'll notice is that in verse 12, that Paul refused to compare himself with these teachers in Corinth. He says in verse 12, For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. I've already described the game that the false teachers in Corinth were playing. They played a game of comparisons, and they especially compared themselves with Paul and argued that Paul didn't measure up to their standard. They had so much more to offer than Paul did. But what Paul does is to show that their method was faulty from the start. He says that they were measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. There's that repetition of themselves, and you can tell what's most important there. Themselves. They were using their own experience and their own abilities as the rule by which everyone else was measured. And Paul says this practice is not wise. And that's putting it nicely. Just imagine doing that in your schooling. Imagine taking a math test and then looking at the math test and not going to the answer book to find out what the true answers are, but saying, "Wow, these look good to me. I felt really good when I took this test, and I'm really confident that my answer to all of these is correct. In fact, as I judge my own tests, I got 100%. If you judge yourselves by yourselves, that's the ultimate conclusion that you come to, that you're batting 1,000, that you're doing just great. Friday night, several of our homeschoolers graduated, and we joked that they were in the top 1% of their class. They were actually in the top, or the bottom 1% of their class too, but we won't go there. In a class of one, you're without compare. Well, actually, homeschooling, that analogy fails because you do compare yourselves to a standard. You don't take a test and then grade it based on how you felt you did, or if you put an answer in every blank. You grade it based on an accepted standard. And the graduates were graded in such a way. Here's what the false teachers were doing. They were using empty categories. They were prejudice categories, at least. And they used those categories to judge Paul and everyone else around them. And Paul says he refused to play that game. He would not get into the comparison game with these who followed after him in Corinth. They turned a blind eye to what God was doing in and through anyone else, and so judged Paul as unable to serve. And here's where Paul's limits come in. He begins to point out the ultimate source of his authority. Consider again the false teachers. They compared themselves to themselves. They were their own standard. What Paul does is he says that not only is that unwise, but he points to the ultimate judge and the ultimate author of authority as being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That reveals something about this method of judgment, that it comes from a root of pride. And isn't it the way of pride to see only my own abilities and to see only my own contributions and to never acknowledge anyone else? The proud man will not see God as the author of those good gifts, will not be humble before him, and will never see that God has gifted anyone else for the tasks around him. And so Paul's first defense is to not even to descend into the game of comparison. He would not follow a path of vanity. And that provides us a first line of defense as well. And I'll come back to this later in application. It's useless to even enter into a contest with those who are measuring themselves by themselves. You've already lost. The game hasn't even started, and the rules are such that there's just no comparison. And you know what? That really makes us chafe. It really gets under our skin when someone else is getting the glory and we're not. But what Paul does is he says, that doesn't bother me. That's not a game I wish to play. I'm not looking for man's appraisal. God is the one who has appointed me to this task, so I'll do it. And I'll look for His approval, not man's. And it's that first line of defense that will help you confront the pride that comes in at this point to make comparisons and to build yourself up and others and tear others down. That's where Paul turns next in these verses. Just following through in the verses, you can see that Paul measured himself by God's ruler. He says that he would not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God had appointed. And what does Paul mean by this? Paul is saying that he's resolved not to exalt himself and not to boast about his own abilities or accomplishments. Instead, he would exalt the Lord and what God had done. He specifically points to a sphere which God appointed. It's a circle of influence, is how we would describe it. A circle of authority. And Paul says that God had given him a job to do. And that job included the care and nurture of the Corinthian church. That was his sphere of influence. He had been specifically given this task, this job of being an apostle to the Gentiles, first of all, in general, and then more specifically, he was sent with the gospel to Corinth. And as the church planter there, he has an authority to exercise over the Corinthian church. It's a sphere of influence, and Paul's emphasis was only on what God had given him. He would not go beyond that, and furthermore, he treated all that he had as something that God himself had given to him. You might remember back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul counsels the Corinthians who were fighting among themselves about who was the most important. And he counsels them this way in 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who makes you different from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Oh, he confronts those that would make more of themselves because of their abilities, of their talents, or their experience. And Paul says, why boast in that? God gave it to you. God is the one who has equipped you in this way, so boast in Him. What is it that Paul had received? God had commissioned him, as we noted last week. He had commissioned him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. God had led Paul to plant the church in Corinth, and it was his rightful sphere of authority. Going on in the verses here, Paul says, "For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in any other men's labors. It says, I'm not overextending, or we might say overreaching, reaching beyond what we ought. This was something that God had given him to do. And so Paul could say, Christ has given me this commission. By God's grace, the Corinthian church has been planted. In fact, Paul had such assurance of what God was doing through the Corinthian church and through his ministry there that he can even go on to describe the hope that he had to minister beyond the Corinthians and to use that church as a stepping stone to minister in other areas and to take the gospel to places that had not heard of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 16 it says, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. Here he's talking about his reach or his authority. To do what? To preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. He's so confident in what God was doing that he was prayerful and hopeful that the Lord would lead him to minister even beyond Corinth, to take the gospel to other foreign lands. By comparison, what were the false teachers doing? They came in after Paul and they claimed that they were the rightful leaders. Based on what? Based on themselves. Based on their own measure of successfulness, based on their own measure of abilities. They boasted in other men's labors. They came in after Paul and they said, look what we have done. As they tried to discredit Paul and to undermine his authority, what they struck at was not just Paul, though. And Paul really understands this. And you'll note that he doesn't even take offense as much about that authority being undermined as he does at the glory that they rob from God. Because that's what they're doing. They're robbing God of His glory in the church. It's apparent when Paul quotes from Jeremiah, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. False teachers were commending themselves. They were boasting in their own abilities. And they might have had abilities. They might have been good public speakers or charismatic individuals. But they did not give glory to God. They took that for themselves. Not only did they build on another man's foundation, but they took the credit that deservedly belongs to Christ and Christ alone. He is the king and head of the church. He alone is the one who is worthy of praise for the prosperous nature of his kingdom. And he will not give that glory to anyone else. And that's exactly what the false teachers were doing. They were taking the glory that belonged to God and claiming it for themselves. Those verses in Jeremiah are really appropriate, and Paul just captures a bit of those. I'd like to read that passage in its context because it really speaks to the proper or appropriate ruler, where our trust is, where we boast. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness of the earth, for in these I delight." Working through these verses, you can see how Paul was most concerned about having the appropriate ruler. And that ruler wasn't his standard. It wasn't the Corinthian standard. And that ruler is Christ himself. And that leads us then to make application to the church in general and to our own Christian lives. Paul was commendable not because of some innate ability. He wasn't a superhero Christian, faster than a speeding atheist and able to plant churches in a single bound. We like to think of Paul that way, as a superhero, but Paul points glory and attention to God working in him. And he glories in Christ, who is the one who plants the churches and who saves sinners. There's an implication for Christian leaders and for Christian churches. There's a limit that's placed on Paul and on all Christian leaders. Paul pointed to the appropriate ruler. He measured himself by the standard of Scripture and by the standard of Christ himself. His authority was limited by God, and his approval came from God and not men. For Christian leaders today, that standard, that appropriate ruler, must be applied. Here I have in mind that double meaning. Let me put it in a fun way. An appropriate ruler uses an appropriate ruler. So if you're going to rule, if you're going to exercise authority, you will use an appropriate ruler, an appropriate standard. Don't measure yourself by yourself. You need to understand your calling and your limits and understand the sphere in which God has given you authority. And in fact, in our lives, there are a variety of overlapping spheres of authority. And in each case, we need to understand our calling in that sphere, give glory to God for what He has given, and then go and do the job that He has set before you. And so one of those overlapping spheres of authority is that some of you have our rulers in your household as a parent. God has given you authority to care for your parents, or for your children, to nurture them and provide for them. Praise God for that calling. Thank the Lord for the privilege and the responsibility of raising your children to know Jesus Christ. And then don't boast in your parenting skills or your academics or your discipline models, but boast in Christ. Praise God for the calling that He has given you and pursue it to the best of your ability, understanding that what you have comes from God. You may be a teacher or a business owner or a civil ruler. Those are all of some of the several overlapping spheres of authority in which we live. And in the same thing, or in the same way, you receive from God Himself authority to exercise in those spheres. Do so acknowledging that all you have comes from Him? Are you a leader in the church? Take this warning to heart. Where God is not honored, the church falters. I pray that you would hold me accountable to this. That as a visible leader of our own congregation, that the Stillwater Reformed Presbyterian Church would never be about Bruce Parnell and how tall he is, but that it would always be about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He does, what He is doing. We do not rest in what men do. We do not give glory for the work of the church, its establishment, its growth, on our method or our ability. But we glorify God for what He does in Christ. There's a sphere of authority, overlapping spheres of authority in which we live, and there are implications not just for leaders, but as for the Corinthians, there was an implication for them that they accept the shepherd that God had appointed. God had called Paul, not the false teachers that followed. They were to recognize and follow their God-given shepherd, and not the thieves that climbed in over the walls afterwards. And I hope that you will see the application that comes to you as you exist in a variety of spheres of influence. That you learn to recognize your appropriate ruler and honor them as such. You'll recognize your appropriate ruler by using an appropriate ruler. You'll recognize your appropriate ruler by devoting yourself to God's rule, to God's word, and finding in there how the Lord has called you to be under authority in certain circumstances. To the children, God commends your parents to you. God commends your mother and your father as your appropriate rulers. He has clothed them with honor to care for you and pray for you, out of wisdom to warn you of ways that will go into error and hurt and pain. They are not commending themselves. God commends them. And so He calls you to honor your father and your mothers. To honor them through submission and obedience. To honor them by caring for them. They are your shepherds at this point in your life, set over your households by God's own hand. So too, as students, or employees, or citizens, or congregations, there are a variety of overlapping spheres of sovereignty, spheres of authority, in which we all exist. Devote yourself to understanding and recognizing those that God commends, those that the Lord has placed over you, and then pray for them. Honor them with the respect that is due to their position. And resolve never to glory in their ability, but to glory in the Lord Himself. And finally, in a very personal application, and I alluded to this earlier, what makes this hard is our own pride. Because we want the glory. We want to be recognized and acknowledged for what we've done or our abilities. And God has given us abilities. And it's not wrong for you to take stock of those, to note them, and to make use of the abilities that God has given. If you do so in a way that glorifies God and not yourself. I'd encourage you to consider what God has given to you, each one. And if you're one that likes to journal, you might spend time today in your journal just reflecting on the abilities and gifts that God has given. And then specifically thanking God for each one of those. Noting how you can see God equipping you to serve and to be part of His kingdom. And at the same time, be aware of the temptation of pride to try to get glory for yourself. It's at that point that confession is so important. To confess the sin of pride. And ask that the Lord would clothe you with humility of mind instead. Jesus has called you. He has equipped you. And everything that you have comes from His hand. And my confidence is this, that the Lord is at work among you. As a congregation, I'm amazed to see the growth in each of your lives and how God is using the variety of gifts that are apparent in the Stillwater Reformed Presbyterian Church. And my hope is, like Paul, that there would be a foundation for further work, further mission work that would reach to the communities surrounding Stillwater and communities that go around the world. Why? Because I'm so great? No, because God is so great. Because Jesus Christ is at work among us. Let's bow before Him and worship Him in prayer. Lord God, the way of the world is to lord it over those under us. To stomp on them as we climb a ladder of success and to throw off responsibility and to throw off authority and to not acknowledge the appropriate rulers that You have brought into our lives. Lord, the way that You have set before us is the way of servant leadership, a way of humility and acknowledging Your hand at work. We pray, Lord, that You would cleanse us of pride, that as we are so tempted to want acknowledgement for our accomplishments in ourselves, or pride in the abilities or the purity or the theology of our congregation, whatever the case, if it becomes a matter of pride, O Lord, we sin against You. God, all that we have comes from Your hand. And let us boast not in ourselves, in our strength or wisdom, but let us boast in the Lord who is at work among us. And God, equip us then in our various spheres to exercise authority graciously, to be under authority graciously, and in all our ways to acknowledge our appropriate ruler. For we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, our great King, Jesus Christ. Amen. I chose to end with Psalm 146 because it confesses that we glory in Jesus Christ. And there's a great line in Psalm 146 that calls us to put no confidence in princes, nor for help on man depend. So instead of hoping or trusting in what men do. We praise the Lord and we trust in Him. We'll sing Psalm 146, Selection A. Please stand to praise God.